everyone. Good morning. As alluded to already, we will be talking about joy. Anybody want more joy in their life? A little bit more? I know I want some more joy in my life. I really appreciate the videos we've been able to watch and the video this morning talking about. I like that one part where it's talking about kind of the joy in the wilderness with the Israelites. And maybe you feel like you're in a wilderness moment right now. We have a God who can bring joy in places of desolation, places of sorrow and grief. Amen. Earlier this week, I like to go for walks at SUNY Potsdam at Maxey. I used to do a lot of running when I was younger. I got an injury in college, and because of different things, I ended up sometimes in discomfort or pain walking, and then I'm in physical therapy. And sometimes it makes me a little sad, to be honest, because I think about what I used to do, and I think about what I can do. But I know what I need to do is walk, stretch, and build up muscle to help me regain some of that ability. So I'm at Maxey Hall, usually five times a week, trying to walk, build some muscle, do some stretching. It needs to be slow progress. And earlier this week, I was walking around the track, and I was feeling good about myself. I was like, I'm walking. I can't power walk. And there's a difference, right, between walking and power walking. So I was feeling good about myself. But there's some guys that walk there, but when I'm there, there's usually a bunch of ladies. And some of them, I mean, you can't guess a woman's age, right? That's always wrong. Always. You don't guess the age. You don't guess if someone's pregnant. You just stay away from those questions and live a longer life. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. I'm like, all right, I got to be consistent. Got to do these things. Do what the physical therapist said. Get better shape, which is good. But then this, like these maternal-looking grandmothers-looking folks who are, like, twice my age maybe start power walking by me. And I start feeling sad. I'm like, I'm walking. I'm like, man. And the thing is, if you're in a running race, if someone runs by you, there's a potential that they'll run by you quickly, which is actually somewhat nicer. But walking, it's really slow to pass someone. Like, you could talk about their life with them. You could ask them how they're doing. How are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'll see you, you know, and, like, right there. So I was feeling a little bit down at the moment because I'm like, oh, man. I was like, I wish I could, like, walk a little faster, if not run. But then in that moment, I know this is kind of silly, but in that moment, I just remembered, man, I need to focus my eyes more on Jesus and the hope and love I have in Jesus than I do in my present circumstances. I let my focus kind of only on my circumstances. My head was down, started looking at the track, started thinking about what I didn't have instead of the things I do have. And how true is that so many times in our life? That there can be a circumstance, a relational thing, financial, maybe it's a health thing, and we get so absorbed focusing in the difficulty and the struggle, to use the word like in the video, the wilderness experience, we focus all the wilderness that we do not keep our eyes at all on our Savior and our living hope. And when our eyes shift off of Jesus and time spent with Jesus, we'll notice that our joy meter starts to go down. And so my goal for this morning is to remind us to look at our Savior, Jesus, that we could remember the joy of our salvation, but also practice spending time in his presence, because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So let's look at that a little bit more this morning. I want to read just a part from Luke chapter 2 before we go into the Old Testament and read a Psalm of David. So Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, I entitled this message, Fullness of Joy. So I want to talk about the proclamation of a Savior coming as the angels mentioned. So Luke 2, chapter 8 to 11, it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The proclamation of a Savior who's been, they've been waiting a long time as we're looking at these Old Testament messianic prophecies going forward. That Messiah has come in the form of a little baby, the Savior. Your salvation has come, and it's going to be great joy. Not just for some people, not just for the Israelites, but it's going to be for who? All people. This joy of a Savior, of salvation. It brings unending eternal joy, what Christ has done on the cross for us. So I want to just start with that reminder that there's a joy we can have in response to knowing that we have a Savior who cares about the situations we're in and has offered us living hope that we can activate even today through the power of His Holy Spirit. So let's look at an Old Testament passage where the author is David. Many of you might be familiar with David, but he spent a lot of time shepherding sheep. He was a musician. He wrote a lot of songs. Maybe some of you like writing songs. He had a heart after God. It's even recorded that David was a man who had a heart after God. That was kind of something that he had. He really did desire God. If you know David at all, he made a lot of huge mistakes, right? He made some really bad mistakes. He really did. But he had a heart after God, and God's steadfast love was towards him, even when he was screwing up. And David wrote a lot of the songs or the psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. So we're going to look at one of them. And it talks about David being in a really difficult situation. And the wording he uses just kind of describes the challenges he's in and how he's looking to a God who is his Savior. So let's look at Psalm 40. We're just going to look at a couple of verses from it, an Old Testament passage, and pointing to a New Testament fulfillment. But Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. So you can turn there. And before I read it, I forgot to mention, just allude at what we looked at in the video earlier. There is a big difference between sometimes how we use these two words. Happiness, I know we're talking about joy, but happiness. Taking right from the video, and as I was looking a little bit more about that, but happiness is about a current state of being. So if you have like a birthday party, most people are happy. If you have a surprise party, not everybody's happy with a surprise party. You ever notice that? It's like, this should be really exciting. And like, why are you crying? About a current state of being. That's not for my personal life, or maybe it is. But happiness, it's a current state of being. It can come and it can go. You can be happy for a moment and you could not be happy the next moment. But joy is really, as we've been learning about, is about the future, our living hope and our promises that are in Jesus. So let's look at Psalm 40 together. This is the author is David writing, the director of music, or some of the little tagline will say the choir master right before that. David says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will seek and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Can we get an amen? If you believe that this morning, none can compare with you. Your deeds are wondrous and your thoughts towards us. And David continues in the last part of verse 5. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love for us. God, we thank you for your hope. God, we thank you for your joy. God, would you speak to us through your word? Encourage us, challenge us. God, I pray that we would not leave here the same way we came in, but we would be changed because we encountered the living God. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at just a couple things from actually the first couple verses. Bring it back to the verse 1 to 3. So it doesn't really give us much context to what's going on here. Yeah, as I was reading and studying it, it could have been David by himself, or it could have been representative of the struggle he's in as far as the nation he's leading. But we see David's in a pretty tough spot. And if you look at his life, he was a lot of times in a pretty difficult spot. His best friend's dad tried to kill him. Talk about rough relationship dynamics, right? You got your best buddy, and they're like best pals, and they just love each other and care for each other, but your friend's dad wants to kill you. Kind of makes it awkward when you want to hang out, right? You want to watch football at your house, David? Or no, maybe we won't go over to Saul's house, you know? Let's play it safe today. But David knew what it was like. He's been chased by armies before. He's hidden in caves. He knows what it's like to be in difficult spots and literally just waiting on God to save him. And so I don't know if it's specifically him speaking on himself or representative of more, but you see he's in a very difficult place. And the wording he uses just kind of draws that out. Wording like he's in the pit of destruction, a miry bog, places that you don't want to stay in nor live in. And maybe this morning you can relate to something like that. Maybe not physically in a place like that, but maybe you can relate to, yeah, I'm in a place where things are messy. I feel stuck. I know that's a wording that sometimes we can use. I feel stuck in life. I feel like I can't get out of a place I'm in. I need help. Well, that's a great place to be in when you realize that you're in a place and you need help, because we have a God who loves to save and has come to rescue us. Amen? So if you identify, I'm in a place I don't want to be, and I realize I want to get out of it, but I can't. I need a savior. I heard it once said, someone who is drowning only appreciates a life vest if they realize they're about to die. If a drowning man or woman thinks they're swimming, they're not going to grab onto a life vest, right? But if you realize, I'm in a place of desperate need, I need a rescue, I need a savior, you need to look for someone else to help. And so David does look for someone else to help. He looks up and he goes right to his God. In verse 1, it says he's waited patiently for the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we still have a Lord, because he's consistent, who he says he's inclined to me and hears my cry. Our cries in whatever wilderness situation we might be in do not go unnoticed. God hears our voice. He hears our prayers. He hears our cries. He knows the situation we're in. David looks beyond his situation. He looks up. He sees the Savior, God, who he knows. And I love how he says in verse 2, he says, he has set my feet upon a rock. So he once was in a pit of destruction. And then he says, he makes my steps secure. He once was in a miry bog. Two places that you would not want to be, places where you do not have security or a steadfast foundation. And he's saying, I'm being rescued out of that. I don't know the specific circumstances he's going through, but we can see that it is dire. It is extreme. David's using words that, God, I need a rescue, and God hears him. And so you get to see the response. I just want to look at verse 3 for a moment. He says, out of this response, we saw in the video how the Israelites, when they're out of Egypt, they started singing a song of joy. We got across the Red Sea. We were almost about to get wiped out by an army. We had a miracle. Let's start praising God, even though we're still in the wilderness. We see David start in response to that salvation that God has brought to the circumstance. He starts singing. He says, he's put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. It's so great to remember what God has brought us through, because that can give us encouragement and hope and joy that God can bring us through what we're going through today. Let's look back. And that's oftentimes in the Old Testament, there were just reminders after reminders after reminders. Remember what God has done for us before. Parents tell the children all the time what God did at the Red Sea and bringing his people out of Egypt. Remember, make that a point to remember. Sometimes they would have like actual stones they would set up in places of just memorial. Remember what God did at this riverbank. Remember what God did at another riverbank. Remember how God works in powerful ways. Let us look back at what God has done to encourage us that that's the same God who can help us through the wilderness moment we're in today. David responds with a song of praise. And he says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Now, the neat thing about this passage, he's referring to a present struggle, that God would be the savior of a specific, either him or his people in that place. But it also has a messianic future looking at. There's going to be many more who are going to see what God has done as a savior, not just David or the Israelites, but they're going to put their trust in the Lord. I want to move forward a little bit to the New Testament, where Jesus appeared after he had been killed and resurrected to his followers. And they got to see that they not just have a savior, but they have a resurrected savior, one who came to save. There's a difference between just saving someone out of an ocean who's drowning and you bring him out, that's really awesome. That's great. The idea that we have a God who didn't just give us a hand out. He came in and he died for you and for me. So it wasn't like it just cost him some resources to get us out of a place of sin and brokenness in this world. He literally came and died for our sins. He was the rescue. He was the Savior. His resource was his life that he gave for you and for me out of great love. We have a God who is tremendous, that he'll go to no length, he'll go beyond any place to rescue and to save. And so we see that in the New Testament, there is great joy when they realize, the early believers realize that we have not just a Savior, but one who's died for us and has been resurrected. Man, what a response of joy does that bring to our life, right? When we think that we have a resurrected Savior who is alive, man, life can get hard, health can be bad, finances can be low, relationships can be difficult, but we got a resurrected Savior, amen? We got a Savior who's alive, and he is present, and he is reigning on high, and he's praying for you 24/7, the right hand of God. It's like, come on. It's like life can get difficult, life can get challenging. We can look down at our pain and our sorrow, and not to say we don't want to be honest with where we're at, but to realize, let's look up. Remember, God, we have a risen Savior. We can rejoice. The early Christians, this is in John 20:20, says, this is Jesus, he says, and after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side where he had been crucified on the cross. They could see, is this him? Is this really our Savior, our Messiah? And the disciples said they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I can't imagine being in that moment, right? They get to see Christ, the one who died on the cross, was in the ground in the tomb for 3 days and resurrected. He is alive. There is joy to be had. I know this kind of focuses on kind of like an Easter feel talking about the resurrection, but we can't get away from why Jesus came with his purpose, right? He came to restore. He came to reclaim. He came to defeat the devil and his plans and sin itself and death. We got a resurrected Savior. That alone, when we focus our eyes on and lock in and fix it on Jesus and who he is, that brings joy that we see the early Christians in the Bible going through difficulties. They just lock their focus on Jesus. I'm going to look on Jesus. Even persecution, I'm just still going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to be moving through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend time just being in his presence and knowing that fullness of joy. So we have joy celebrating a Savior. We see that in the New Testament, we have a joy celebrating a risen Savior. And I want to talk about, just for a couple moments, talking about knowing the fullness of joy in our Savior's presence. Psalm 16, which is also written by David, he says this, You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to read that again. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Doesn't that sound amazing? Not just some joy to have. There's a slice of joy. There's fullness of joy. And at your right hands are pleasures forevermore. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is joy. If you're looking for joy this morning, I know I asked this morning, who wants more joy? It's like, I don't know anyone that's going to say no to that question, you know. I want less joy. You know what? I'm just too joyful. I need to simmer it down, be a little bit more stoic, or maybe more on the hopeless side, and then get back, appreciate joy later. I don't think anyone's going to actually say that. But I think all of us want joy. If you want to go after joy, don't go after joy. Go after the presence of Jesus. If you want to have joy, don't go after joy. Go after the presence of Jesus. He is our living hope. He has unending love for each one of you. And when we can be in the presence of God daily and know his intimacy and care for us, our response to that will be joy. It's interesting because sometimes when we think, like, I'm lacking this, I just need to get that. What we need is not a thing. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. So I want to take a little bit of time to talk about this idea of being in the presence of our risen Savior, Jesus. Spending time to know that fullness of joy. And I want to talk about having joy in difficult situations, which has definitely been a theme this morning, which I think God's definitely trying to encourage us. If you're in a difficult spot this morning, know that you can have joy because God is with you. He has not abandoned you, nor has he forsaken you. He loves you. I want to talk about this man for a second, and then I'm going to talk about a devotional, which actually is on the table. Some of you might have seen this. This guy's name is Bob Sorge. I'm guessing most of you probably don't know who he is. He's not like a huge preacher, author, or anything. He does preach, and he is an author, but not like on a national scale or anything. But I recently got to hear him in a conference a couple weeks ago. I've heard him in a conference several years ago. Bob Sorge used to be the director of music at Elam Bible Institute, and where I went to school. But way before I went there, some of you might remember when we had the director of music there. His name is Dick Grout. He came up here maybe like 6 years ago, or maybe 7 years ago. He met with the leaders, and he did like some teaching on worship right up front. He had a piano right here, and just kind of guiding us through. It was a special time. So he's currently the director of music, but before that was Bob Sorge. Bob Sorge, a gifted musician, worshiper, just loves Jesus, kind of reminds me of kind of a David kind of person, just kind of that intimacy. You ever meet people, and you just see them radiate with the joy of the Lord, and you don't even have to ask, like, do you ever spend time with God? It's just like, how much time do you spend time with God? Like, you just know it. Like, you just see them radiate, and they have joy, and you're like, I want it. I want what you have. And what they have is just spending lots of time in the presence of God. Since most of you don't know, I'll just explain. Yeah, if you meet him, he's full of joy. He radiates. He walks with humility, kind of like a Dave Coles, kind of just care and love to him. He used to lead and train men and women to be worship leaders all over the country and world. But 26 years ago, he had a vocal injury to his vocal cords, and he can barely talk anymore. It's like a whisper. So his like primary gifting and like his joy is worship leading and developing worship leaders. And that primary thing, he can barely even talk. If you get to see him at a conference and talk to him, he actually won't, because he needs to say whatever little voice he has, he won't talk to you in person. You can ask him questions and he can hear and everything, and then he needs to write down his response on paper, and then you read what he says and you go back and forth. And I just think of, wow, like, this is what he used to do. This is his strength, worship leading. He can barely even talk. So that might beg you to wonder, and he was speaking at a conference? Yeah, he's probably one of the most powerful speakers I ever heard. He speaks in a whisper. The presence that he spends time with the God is so upon him, and his joy of the Lord radiates, that when he speaks, they have to mic him up way high, super high, and just like a small, kind of hurting whisper voice. And he shares about the things that he sees that God shows him in the secret place, in the quiet place, in time with God. I just wanted to share a little bit about him, because if you're in a place of pain, in a place of hurt, it is still possible to have joy even in difficult times. And I appreciate Bob, because the Lord has told him that he's going to bring a healing in his life. And he's like, it's been 26 years. I'm still waiting on that. And even while he's in the conference, he's like, that healing could come while I'm speaking today. He was just so locked in on the person of Jesus and on the promises of God that even his situations, they wouldn't deter him. Such joy, such love. I think each one of us want to overflow with more joy and more love. So how does he get here? Well, he does the same thing David does, or David did. He just spends a lot of time in the presence of God. Because of this injury, he now writes books all the time. And he wrote a lot of books, and now he goes speaks all around the country in a whisper. So God redirected him in a place I thought he'd be developing worship leaders and worship leading. He, instead of giving up and becoming bitter, he decided to become better in the things of God, and God is using him in miraculous ways. So a powerful testimony. Hope that would encourage you. I want to talk about this book, which you'll see out on the table. It's called Reset. It's 20 Ways to a Consistent Prayer Life. If we know spending time with Jesus is where we'll have the fullness of joy and that overflow, if we had to be honest, how often do we daily spend time with Jesus? Right? Sometimes I'm like, I'm missing that joy. My mind's running around. I don't have the peace that surpasses understanding. I'm not outflowing with the love of God. I'm lacking on hope. And then sometimes I'll think, when's the last time I spent time with the living hope? When's the last time I just hung out with the Prince of Peace? When's the last time I hung out with the one that gives the fullness of joy in his presence? So many times we can want something that God gives, but we just keep desiring it apart from spending time with him. And so I was listening to Bob Sorge's mentioning one of these books. I've been looking at it, submitted it to the other pastors, and we really want to equip and resource the entire church body coming up in January, January 1st, to start a prayer reset. Sometimes if you're doing life and you realize this is not the results I would want, my priorities are not God's priorities. Maybe God is a priority, but he's not the priority. Prayer reset, it's a fun word, but I'm hoping that we could engage in this together starting January 1st. These are free. We purchased them, but they're free for you to take. I encourage everyone to take one. The whole idea here is to do a 20-day prayer devotional to commit to 20 minutes a day in prayer. So a 20-day prayer devotional committing to 20 minutes in prayer. I know that might sound really like a lot of times. Like, how in the world am I supposed to get 20 minutes? That might be like one Netflix show shorter, right? Got to make that thing auto stop from just going on to the next one, right? Just being real. Might have to reorient when you go to bed at night or when you wake up in the morning. But our prayer as pastors is that all of us would spend time daily with Jesus. That we would just bask in our Father's glory, that we would radiate with joy in his presence, that we would hear from God daily. If the only place that you're finding joy or peace is on Sunday, I'm so glad that you're here, but God has so much more for you. He really does. He wants to have a relationship with you through Jesus intimately each and every day. I remember about 6-7 years ago, I was talking to a college student. He wasn't a believer, but he was coming here, checking out church. And he's like, I don't know what it is, but he's like, when I walk in this building and spend time in this service, he's like, I experience this peace. He's like, Jim, all week I don't have peace. He's like, but when I come here, I have peace. He's like, the closest thing I can think about it, he's like, is when I drink a lot of alcohol and I have a momentary moment of peace. But he's like, I'm not sober to experience it. It's like, when I'm here, I feel at peace, and I'm sober, and this is the only experience I've ever had like it. Now, what he was trying to articulate is he's experiencing the peace of God. That you can have peace and still be sober. Amen? And it has no hangover effect. And it can go on longer. And it's actually eternal. And you can keep re-engaging with Jesus, experiencing his peace and offloading cares because he cares for you and giving him burdens. There is so much benefit for being with God daily. But let's not focus only on the benefits. Let's focus in that there's a person that wants to spend time with you. His name is Jesus. He loves you and cares for you. And if you could commit to 20 days of, Lord, I'm going to do my best with God's grace. Might stumble, might miss a day, might miss some minutes, whatever, but having a goal. I know a lot of times when the new year comes, we're thinking of health goals or dieting goals, and physical fitness is really good. We want to be good stewards of our body. But really, godliness and spiritual disciplines, that has benefit in this life and in the next life. So if you're realizing, my life isn't having that joy, my joy meter is low, I really don't have peace, I'm losing a little focus on hope, I'm not overflowing with love towards God and towards others, spend time with God daily. Now, this isn't something necessarily profoundly new for those who've been a Christian for a while. You know this. But I think as we know, it's not about the knowledge that we know, but the knowledge that we obey. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey. Sometimes I think in our culture, we can focus on teaching to know versus teaching to obey. Jesus is wanting men and women who are obedient to what they have no. So sometimes it's better to know less and just do what you know with less. The more you know, the more you're accountable to. Uh-oh, right? So if you're power reading scriptures and flying through devotional emails and whatever, and knowing a lot more, but doing less with it, then you're accountable to more that God's wanting you to grow in. And so I would encourage you, challenge you, to obey what God has shown you already. And if we're not abiding with Jesus daily, we cannot overflow with the fruit of the Spirit that God has for us. So I want to encourage you, spend time with the Lord daily. What this might look like in your life. So you start spending time with God daily. Maybe this is a reset, so this is something you have done, but you haven't in a while, so you want to get back to it. Maybe this is the first time. It's probably going to be a little bit challenging. If you're not used to being still, our culture, like stillness is not something we talk about, right? How fast can I text? How fast can I send this email? How fast can I look at the social media post? How fast can I put the news post on Facebook and make a comment about it, right? Speed, 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 speed. So the idea of slowing down to read the Bible, to just be still, to listen to God, to talk, maybe say nothing at all. It feels awkward. I'm going to be honest. It can feel awkward because you're used to go, 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 go. The idea of just being still can feel a little bit awkward. I encourage you, push past that. Make some new habits, a new routine of God, I'm gonna push through this. Our minds can move so fast sometimes that we get distracted easily. And if maybe as you start this, you might be distracted a lot, give it to the Lord. God, I'm being distracted a lot. I need help. I need to focus in. God, I really want to spend time. But I encourage you, don't give up on day one or day three or day five. Keep pushing through, because when you do, you'll start slowing down in your soul, and you're gonna be in a place of just kind of starting to encounter just God's peace and his presence. You'll start to hear God's whispers a little bit more, start to share more from your heart to God. And I'm just praying that we could grow closer together in our relationship with him. So, a prayer reset. January 1st is when we're looking to start this. If you're like, I need God sooner though, like that's great, but that's a couple weeks away. You can start it earlier, okay? If you're like, I need something to help me get going, it's very doable, it's short, it's super easy to read. It gives you Old Testament, New Testament, and some of the letters, reflection reading. And then it also gets into some spiritual disciplines and prayer, things like fasting or just confessing, Thanksgiving, a bunch of other different things. I encourage you to check it out. And for those who are in middle school or high school, I want to just speak to you for a moment. I want to encourage you. It is wonderful if you can start a consistent time with the Lord when you're young. Can I get an amen from those a little bit older? Amen, right? Instead of being like, you know, there's so many cool things you can do on your PS4, Xbox One, or your Nintendo Switch, or online, or on YouTube that can take up a lot of time and they're fun. But I would encourage you, spending time with God is just so much more beneficial. And if you can have a consistent relationship when you're in middle school and when you're in high school and keep that going, oh man, you'll just be walking with the Lord in ways that some of us are yet to be at. It also prevents you from going into things that some of us regret, that like, man, if I was following Jesus, I know I would have made some of those decisions. And even though God does forgive us, just like he forgave David, there's consequences and sometimes some things that we feel through our lifetime because of some of our decisions. I encourage you, let's do this together. Young and old, take some time. If you're already in a place of prayer and that's just normal for you, I hope you could use this as encouragement just to keep praying. I hope that when we get to 20 days, that this habit that we'll be forming will continue. Go beyond 20 days. 21, 30. Wouldn't that be really awesome if you're able to almost hit 365 days in 2019? This is the greatest priority we could have, is spending time with Jesus. It really is the greatest priority for our entire day, because you only live one day at a time, is spending time with Jesus. Your life will be radically transformed. Your friendships, for those struggling maybe with marriage things, you start flowing through the power of the Holy Spirit, and so does your spouse. Be ready to be amazed by testimonies of God working things. Parenting, children with parents, Parenting can be tough, but so can be having parents, right? But flowing with the love and hope and peace and joy and everything that the fruit of the Spirit has for us. Maybe we walk in that. So I know I talked about it a lot, but I'm really trying to make a point. I really hope you'll be able to use this. If you know someone that could benefit from something like this, take another copy, bless somebody with it. Let us grow together towards maturity in Christ in 2019, if not sooner. So here's a couple questions. I'm going to invite up the musicians as we will be finishing with a song and then a benediction, and then we'll have prayer time. If there's any way we can be praying for you at the end of the service, we'd love to pray for you up here. So if you are in that wilderness place and you're like, I'm really needing some encouragement, some support, other brothers and sisters praying with me, we love to be praying for you. And whatever the request is, we have a God who is greater. So no request is too big, nor is any request too small. But we'll have prayer teams at the end of the service. We'd love to pray for you. So here's just some questions, and then I'll pray, and then we'll conclude with this song before our benediction and prayer time. So I talked about the fullness of joy, and I talked about January 1st, but what would a consistent time with the Lord look like? This is very practical, because I realize if we don't get practical with it, it just becomes knowledge, and that possibly is not knowledge that we obey, it's just knowledge that we know. But what could a consistent time with the Lord look like for you this week? If that's not a current pattern for you, is there a time that you could spend time with the Lord in prayer, reading scripture, use a devotional, use a Bible, use a YouVersion Bible app? Spend time. Often, I've thought of this in my own life, but many other speakers, writers will say this. It's great to think about what part of my day am I at my best. Some of us are morning people. Some of us dread the morning. Anyone dread the morning? Yeah, okay, yeah, I see the hands, right? Yeah, maybe there's some afternoon, you feel like your peak energy's there, or maybe it's later at night, you're realizing, like, I have a lot of energy at night. I encourage you, take a time, morning, afternoon, evening, lock in on it, and have a goal that I'm going to try to spend some time with the Lord at my best. Jesus has given me my best. I'm going to give him the best of my day. To be attentive, to listen, and to hear. So I would just encourage you, take a practical step and be like, what does that look like? Maybe if you have a written calendar, just write it in. If you have like a digital calendar, just set up a recurring time. Hey, I'm going to try to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you're taking the reset challenge today, 20 minutes. I'm just going to spend that time right there. Just put it right in the calendar and get it going. I know some friends who mark that time as appointment with the king. Because when you look at your calendar, there's a lot of important ones, but it's like, this is appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't want to miss this one. And if you do, know there's grace, just find another time in that day. Later that day, don't beat yourself up. I encourage you to do that. I mentioned that I was walking at Maxie and I was feeling down. It was cool. When I focused my eyes on Jesus and it started radiating with joy, instead of looking at so much of my problems, I got to start seeing people around me. And it was really cool. I saw another guy who was walking on the track with his head down. I could just tell from his demeanor, he was also feeling like he didn't want to be there and also feeling down about his current place. So I felt like the Lord was like, hey, go over and try to encourage him. Because I fixed my eyes on Jesus and started experiencing joy, I wanted to start to share that joy. So I went over to some guy I didn't know, started walking with him, just talking, just wanted to encourage him. He said he'll be there another day. I'm like, cool, I'll be there the same day. The next day, I saw him there. I'm like, hey, saw him again. Just felt like the Lord's like, you know, I want to be more specific about my encouragement. So I'm like, you know what? I just want to let you know that God loves you. He cares about you, and you're doing an awesome job walking. Like, keep it up. I just want to encourage you. And my goal now is anytime I see this guy, I'm just going to keep speaking life, speaking life, speaking life. And if I kept focusing on my disappointment and problems, I, one, would miss out on focusing on Jesus. Two, I would not have the joy of the Lord. But then I would miss out, three, on sending joy to someone else. Are you with me? That because of that, we can send that. And so I just want to encourage you, focus on Jesus, overflow with joy, and share it with someone this week. Look intentionally. Be bold, be wild, be weird. I don't know. We're Christians. We love Jesus. It's kind of radical. Let's get out there and share it with someone this week. And before I pray, I just want to encourage, I saw someone who was cruising on the track. Julia, I saw you walking like a champ. You are super fast at walking. And I just want to give her a hand. Can we give a hand to Julia? I Julia, I saw you there with a friend. And you're just cruising. I'm like, go, Julia, go. I can rejoice with those who are rejoicing. I can mourn with those who are mourning. I know my identity in Christ. So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your tremendous love for us. God, thank you that we have hope in the wilderness. God, thank you that we can sing joy songs of salvation like the Israelites, like David, like those in the New Testament. Lord, may we overflow with joy and praise because you're just so good. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, regardless of our circumstance. And Lord, thank you that you hear our cry and respond. May you be glorified in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.